If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, and we'll be looking this morning at verses 17 through 30 of our text. By way of reminder, last week we came together and we began to look at the second chapter where King Nebuchadnezzar has issued forth a decree. He's had a dream, and it's been a dream that's bothered him, that he can't remember all the details of, but it's been enough details that he remembers, that he's very uncertain and uneasy, and wants an answer to his dream. But he also wants an answer that's true, and so he's put forth a challenge to his wise men that unless they can tell him both what the dream was and its interpretation, he will have them put to death. And this message applies also to Daniel and his companions as young wise men in his court. Hear now the word of the Lord, taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than any other living man, but so that you, O king, may know that the interpretation, and that you may understand what went through your mind." And thus ends this reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, flower fades, the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask for peace and contentment and wisdom on the minds and hearts of your people here this day. I pray, dearest Heavenly Father, that as we spend time together listening to your word, and asking for its meaning in our life here today, that these events and the things that are recorded would have deep and profound things to speak to us. Give your people, dearest Heavenly Father, ear that they may hear that truth, and give me a mouth that I may speak it to them, and all of us, dearest Heavenly Father, a willingness and a desire to not simply gain head knowledge about you as Lord of all, but heart knowledge, and have that guide our actions, our prayers, our thoughts, each and every day of our life. I ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Last week, as we looked at this text, we said that there is within us very often a desire to want to know something about the future. In Nebuchadnezzar's particular place, this is related to a dream or a vision that he has had. But any of us, I think, on that level, can begin to identify with that burning question that is going to be posed very poignantly in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. What is it that will come? What do the days to come in the future have in store for me, for my legacy, for my kingdom? What are the things that are to come? And God is going to give Nebuchadnezzar a hint, or in some regards, a very profound prophecy of what many of those events to come will be. Something that we will spend much time talking about as we look at the dream itself and as we look at its interpretation. But before we get to that point, I have to bring it back to this one. We struggle mightily wondering what tomorrow will bring for us. Many of you say, no, we don't. I haven't really thought too much about tomorrow other than the fact that I have to go to work or I have to go to the doctor's appointment or I have X, Y, and Z coming up this week. But really, when you boil it down, a whole lot of our present is caught up with anticipation and wonder about tomorrow, about what that next day or what that next week or what that next month or what that next year or what the lifetime of ourselves, children, our grandchildren, might look like. And there are times that we'll say to ourselves, if I only knew what was going to happen, I would be so much happier. If I only knew whether the stock market was going to reach 21, 22, 23,000, I would be so much happier. If I only knew what was going to happen with that terrible relationship that just blew up last week. If I only knew if it was going to get better. If I only knew how it was going to end. If I only knew what the outcome of this cancer was going to be. And when it was going to come, I would be so much happier. So much more content. I would have peace. Anybody ever think that way about life? About the things going on in your world? If I only knew the details, I could be so happy. Sometimes, the absence of information can truly be a blessing. If we really knew what tomorrow had in store, at times, it could be one of the worst things for us. Because it takes that faith component, that's such a vital part of our life, such a vital part of what it is that we do, and it sort of relegates it off to the side, is just anticipating and awaiting the expecting. Now, why do I say that? This text begins with very prominent actions on the part of Daniel and on the part of some of his friends. Verse 17, Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know, when you know the rest of the story, you can almost gloss past that point. All right, we know Daniel's going to be okay. We already read through that. We've read this book before. We've seen the little videos of children's things that we've played for our grandchildren. We know Daniel's going to be okay. Put yourself in that situation. Briefly for a moment. The decree has been issued. Unless this dream gets interpreted, all the wise men are going to die. The death decree is there. The death decree is real. Nebuchadnezzar is not a person to be trifled with. He didn't issue the decree just to say, I changed my mind about it. It's not really going to happen. I really wasn't serious. I wouldn't really execute these people. No, reality is smack dab there, staring them in the face, that unless this matter is made known to the king, death awaits the wise men and Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, or Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so Daniel, who has been given a gift by God, and Daniel's gift, remember, is a little bit different than everybody else. Chapter 1:19, you know, all of them have been trained, all right? But Daniel, God gave all of them learning and skill and literature and wisdom. All of them are wise. 17, but Daniel had understanding in visions and dream. Daniel has the gift. Daniel's the one that the Lord has given a special blessing to, an ability to interpret dreams and visions. He needs to interpret a dream or a vision. So what's the first sort of thing, if you're Daniel, that you're thinking at the moment? Okay, God, you have given me the ability to interpret dreams and visions. So it's sort of a God and a Daniel thing. Okay, God, let's have a conversation. Let's talk. You and me, God and man, God and Daniel, show me the vision of this dream. Is that the first thing that Daniel does? No. Daniel, after he speaks to Nebuchadnezzar, initially, all right, says, give me a little bit of time, and I'll tell you the matter of this dream. And he goes home, and he tells his friends, I need you to do something for me. I need you to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that them might not be destroyed with the wise men of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't have the ability to interpret dreams. But they have the ability to do something that's incredibly important about this. They have the ability to beg and plead the mercies of God on Daniel, that they might be spared. And the only way that that happens is by God revealing to Daniel this dream. One of the first things that Daniel does as he's faced with a crisis is he turns to his friends and he says, pray for me, essentially. Not exactly that word there, but that's essentially what he's saying. Pray for me in this matter in which all of us have our futures at stake. If it was just a Daniel and God type thing, here, if it was just Daniel and God in one-on-one communication, God, take this gift that you have given to me and use it mightily to declare your power before Nebuchadnezzar and all the world. That would be perfectly applicable and perfectly true. But there is a vested interest that is going to come in the testimony of the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to God a few chapters later in the fiery furnace. That their own faith, that has nothing to do with visions and dreams, is highlighted in an abundant way, clear before all, as a result of their ability to be there. That comes with prayer. Last week, or yesterday, when we had that men's breakfast over there at Shiloh, we got to talking about many things, and actually this has come up several times over the course of the last week. It came up in the Thursday night Bible study, and I think it came up in the Monday one again. But men, in general, and in particular, don't like to share their needs with others. Ladies, I'm sure you've noticed that before. They're just kind of private. They want to hold the things that are, you know, they're sort of struggling with individually, just sort of deep down inside themselves. And, well, I can handle it. I can deal with it. I don't really want to show signs of weakness that might be perceived by others in society by reaching out to others and asking them to come alongside and help me with whatever the case happens to be. The way Daniel has responded to the captain of the guard, the way he responds here, by turning to his friends and say, I need you to pray to God for me, for us, for this matter before the king, that this vision will be made known to me. Speaks of the humility of Daniel for sure. Speaks of the power of prayer. Because all of these things are seamlessly tied together, such that you can't really break one detail out of the story and still come to the same result, because God works through the details. How much does he work through the details in your own life? In your own rallying together for requests? Many, many times when we hit the crisis moment, we see that trigger to prayer. And we recognize that power of prayer in the midst of cancer, in the midst of heart disease, in the midst of death. We feel that trigger, and we feel and we covet truly the love of the prayers of others around us as we grieve and we go through that struggle. And yet at times I think we underestimate its value and its power. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come alongside Daniel in this prayer, and as Daniel is praying, I don't think it's an open-ended prayer. God, if you really want us to die, don't reveal the dream to me. But if you don't want us to die, go ahead, reveal the dream to me. But either way, thy will be done. These men are on their knees, perhaps literally, perhaps figuratively speaking, earnestly praying that things relevant to their life situation would be made known and be made known by God's answered prayer of Daniel. And we see it happen, right? We see it in the next couple of verses. And then Daniel, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven, answered and said, it's amazing prayer. That night, 5 minute prayer, you think? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Dan, you think they prayed for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes? I do a pastoral prayer for 10 minutes. How fervent is that prayer? I think it's a pretty fervent prayer. And that night, God answers it. And he gives Daniel that understanding. And notice the language of Daniel in response to receiving that vision, receiving that understanding. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, in whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Remember, I said Daniel's vision of the world going on around him and everything that's going on, even under Nebuchadnezzar's reign, is squarely centered on the point that he knows that God stands above and over even these earthly situations. And that's infusing within him the confidence to stand before the king, to beseech God in these prayers, to praise him. He changes times and seasons. He removes the kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Daniel had learning. He didn't have that kind of learning. What it is that he received in that vision did not come from him. It came squarely from God. He knows it. And he praises God for it. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Very deliberate, very concrete, very specific answer to prayer. Lord, show Daniel the vision. Lord, show me a vision to answer the king's request. And boom, the vision comes. And when it comes, and that moment's hit, and those things come together, immediately there's a song of praise unto God for an answer to prayer. We struggle with this mightily. And there is a time and a place to pray in general. There's a time and a spot to pray specifically. And when you never pray specifically, you can never really say amen when the Lord answers a prayer. I pray for myself and others that as we come alongside each other in prayer and in love, that we would see more of that in the sharing of our lives with one another, that what it means to be a member of a faith community means more than a burial plot in a cemetery, means more than a casserole dish when you are sick or have a baby or any number of things like that. That it means that we are a community that beseeches the mercies of God and the lives of one another and on our own life as He works through our prayers in our own temporal situations and in others. And very quickly as we finish this, Daniel goes into the king that had been appointed to destroy him essentially, and he tells him to bring this message that the king will bring the interpretation. Arioch brings Daniel in, says, "I have found among the exiles a man from Judah who can interpret the dream," but very clearly we know from the story it's not Arioch that has found him, it is God who has used Arioch to bring Daniel to the king. And the king declares to Daniel, right, that he's a, again, if you're able to make this known to me, go ahead and make it known. Daniel's answer again orients everything properly for us. "To you, O king, came these thoughts, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what is to be. As for me," verse 30, "this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have, more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." Normally, we would want to see in there a statement such as this: "This vision has been made known to me, O king, that you might know that the God whom I serve is the one true God, and that you are not, and your God is not." And that is theologically true. But Daniel's words are very telling. He meets Nebuchadnezzar right where he's at. "You ask for this. I am going to show you this. And in doing so, I'm going to show you a whole lot more than you asked for." All of that, that tying together of everything in the story of Daniel, in this event, in understanding that dream and understanding its interpretation, comes not as a matter of human wisdom, but it comes about as a matter of answered prayer and revelation from God to man about real things affecting their life. Beloved, we may not have the same dreams and visions of Daniel, but we have the same need for petitioned requests of prayer, for answers about things in this life which affect how we live, which affects how others around us live, which affects the meaning, the understanding of being a servant and vessel of God and a supporter thereof. He's given many different gifts to many different people. Use your gifts in continuity with others through prayer, that His word might be proclaimed to all around in answers of life that truly affect life and death beyond the scope of human wisdom. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, I earnestly do pray that you would bless the lives of all of your people here this day with a challenge and a rebuke from Scripture about what it means to consider the needs of others, the needs of ourselves as tied together with them. Help us, dearest Heavenly Father, to not turn to prayer as a backup, but may we turn to it as primary. May we not look at the gifts that you've given us and take confidence in ourselves to use them worldly and wildly with our own abilities. May we seek to use the gifts that you've given us in constant discretion and use by your word for others in prayer. Help us, dearest Heavenly Father, to be about that here at Timber Ridge, that as we turn our minds and our eyes to your word, that you would illumine a word to us far beyond anything that we are asking for, and speak deep into our wisdom and to our living. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn today will be hymn number 237. And let us praise our Lord in the words of the hymn, "He Keeps Me Singing," 237.